Welcome, welcome. Hi guys, and I hope you're having a beautiful 2021. Now today I want to share with you an interview that I recorded in August 2019, so actually almost 2 years ago now. But I'm just looking at the climate we're in and it's so relevant. So I joined my friend Marion, and we chat about just achieving our goals, but we also really delve into the realness and some of the challenges we face, including mental health challenges and just some healthy ways to navigate them. I think that's a very relevant topic in the now that we're living in. So if you want to join in, do stay on and hear what we have to say about the situation. Just hear how Marion is so awesome and has navigated all these challenges that we all face in such a great spirit, and just the amazing stuff she's doing right now. Hello, so happy to have you guys here again. Look, I have an amazing guest with me. Her name is Marion Cousquier, and that is my atrocious attempt at a French accent. But help me in joining, guys, the wonderful, the beautiful, the one, the only, Marion. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Today Uncovered. I am so glad that you've been able to join us for another episode, guys. Like I always say, I'm sure some of you can actually repeat after me, but I have such a treat lined up for you again today. Right, today I have an amazing individual. She goes by the name of Marion Cousquier. I should have asked her before as to whether I've pronounced her name properly. Hi, Marion.
Hi.
So Marion is a humanitarian aid worker, and she's just going to be inspiring us about the journey she's taken to get to where she is and what she's actually doing in her capacity at the moment. So Marion?
Yes?
Je vous souhaite la bienvenue sur Today Uncovered.
Ooh, thank you.
How did I do?
Great. I was afraid you were not going to dare speaking in French, but you did. So great job.
Thanks, Marion. Do you know what that actually reminds me of?
No.
When me and you had a little escapade in Cleveland. And I was trying to speak French and boy, I feel sorry for Marion.
Well, but you know, if you don't practice, then so you know, that was good.
That's true. She's being nice because there are other people listening, but thank you. So Marion, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and it's a great pleasure because I'm very excited and proud for this project of yours.
No, I'm so glad to have you on, honestly. And you know, before we get into the meaty parts, I always like to reiterate the purpose of this show and the reason why you're on it today. And really the purpose is just to build a platform to encourage people, right? To launch out on their dreams, you know, those goals they have within their hearts, and they're a bit scared for various reasons and they think it might not work. And you've come on because you've done exactly that. Right, you saw a need in the world.
Hopefully I can like be interested and inspire even one person. It will be great. But I'm so humbled that you decided to, that you reached out to me and thought of me for this episode. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on. All these niceties. I love it.
Right.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. So where did we first meet? I always love this question because I love to throw people off.
Right. Well, I was prepared for this question. So Amy and I first met, I can even be very precise.
Gosh.
It was the summer of 2013. And we met, I think, during orientation week at our American university that we spent both our senior years of our bachelor's, I think, if I remember well.
Yeah.
So we met in August 2013 in this room with all international students. And because we had similar classes, you know, because I mean, our major was political science. And yeah, that's how we met the first time. And then I think we had a class together, if I remember well. Yeah. And the love story began there.
I do remember that because I remember meeting you and it was so much fun. And I was like, especially when we realized we were doing the same major. And
right.
Then on, I don't know, the next day, I don't know if it was a Monday or whatever, but then I saw you in my class and I was like, yay. And then I saw you in another class.
Yeah, it was so nice to see a friendly face like in a class because I was so intimidated, right? Like being a foreign student, like my English was not as good. It was not as good as it is now because it's been a while, but yeah, it was so nice. And then yeah, we shared the same building as well, so we would see each other every day. So that was great memories.
Great memories, yeah, definitely. I remember being shocked by the, like, Americans have weird showers. Do you remember those? Like,
oh, I do.
What was that?
That was a terrible memory. I mean, I honestly, I've been very, like, traumatized. That's exactly why I decided to move the second semester. It was not even a proper shower that I got then, but it was better than these, like, common, you know, collective showers that we had.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, it was a good place, though. We enjoyed the journey.
We did.
Just a few cultural differences. But yes. Right, Marion. So where do we start? Where do we start? Tell us a bit about what you've been doing recently in your humanitarian aid work.
Yeah, well, I mean, currently I'm in Paris, my hometown, because I'm waiting to go on my next mission.
Okay.
But the last couple of months, I guess the last year, I was actually in Niger, in West Africa, doing a humanitarian mission with a medical NGO, an international medical NGO.
Okay.
And yeah, so that was my first proper humanitarian experience in the field. And also, I guess, my proper job, like, you know, because before that, and we will go into that, but I had other, you know, I had other experiences, but in Europe and I guess elsewhere. But
yeah,
Niger was a super exciting time for me. And
Oh, so that was your first field-based.
Exactly.
Okay. And how long were you there for?
I was there for almost a year, so...
Wow.
10 months.
Yeah. And what is it like in the field, like, for you to move from Paris to Niger?
Yeah, well, technically I moved from Brussels to Niger because before that I was working in an NGO in Brussels.
Okay.
And well, first of all, the move was super quick. Like, I knew I got the job and then I had to do all of my vaccinations, and 7 days after my interview I was in Niger, right? So well, actually, I was in Senegal before for all this orientation because the headquarters were there. And then I was straight to Niger. And so, first of all, the thermal shock was, like, pretty brutal because it was I went from, like, 20 degrees to, like, above 40 degrees. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. And then I guess, you know, I was straight in the craziness of working in the field. So, you know, my team there was waiting for me impatiently. And I guess from day one, you know, I it was a very busy experience, but I've loved it. And and then I got to learn my job and my tasks, and I guess really understand the humanitarian architecture in the field, like, who, like, which organizations really, you know, kind of manage the whole, like, coordination on the field, you know, who does what and where.
Hello? Marion, I've lost you. Hello?
Hello?
I lost you for a second.
Do you hear me now?
I can hear you now. So we can start from who does what on the field.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you really learn, I got to really learn who does what, you know, in the field. Like,
okay.
At school, you know, I've studied a lot the United Nations system and, you know, international organizations and kind of, you know, which agencies manage, like, I guess, refugees or, you know, food assistance. But then it's all really abstract, right?
Mm.
And it's up until you're in the field that you actually understand what does it mean,
yeah,
and how it really works. And I guess I was really, it's, you know, when I got there, I really understood everything that I had learned before, and it became so tangible and so.
Wow. Okay, so I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but you've got my listeners' ears perching up now. So what was your task actually in that part of the world? And yeah, what was the practicalities of what you were doing? You said you were working with a health organization. Can you give us a bit more detail on that?
Yeah, sure. So like I was saying, I was working for an emergency medical organization, and my position was grant manager and reporting officer.
Mm.
So I had both those roles. And what it means is that I was not only trying to get funds from international donors to fund our projects, right? And so I was reaching out to not only United Nations agencies, but also like bilateral donors.
Okay.
I mean, the European Union and the American government and others who fund a lot in the region, as well as the French government, I should say.
Mm.
And so that was one part of my job. And this implied, you know, kind of drafting our whole project, what we wanted to do, and, you know, really explain in details our goals and where we were about to work and everything. And so, and then the other part, once we got these grants, these generous grants, from to actually kind of do project management and go visit our projects and our hospitals and health centers and see our beneficiaries and make sure, need to make sure everything was according to plan, and that we were our teams and doctors and nurses were doing everything we had said our donors, we had told our donors we would do.
Okay. So,
and basically, our projects were mainly access to emergency health services, and as well as the management of acute malnutrition. So these were both our specialties in Niger.
Hmm.
And also, an interesting fact was that I was working with an international medical NGO, but we were working in partnership. And I mean, in a very close partnership with a Nigerian NGO, so a local NGO.
Okay, wow.
Which was awesome because I was working with Nigerian doctors and health professionals. And so all of my team were, I mean, I guess 70% of my team were Nigerian. And,
wow,
and
the other 30%
were, I guess, African expatriates. And I was the only, I guess, you know, European. So it was a very particular experience, but I
I can imagine. Oh, lost you again. I think you'll be coming back soon. I'll just patiently wait.
I'm here.
There we go. Awesome. Wow, that's great. So I can imagine, you know, that is quite a great thing to be able to work with the locals, because obviously they have much more information, you know, and you're coming in, they're able to brief you on situations that have been, basically they have much more history on most of the projects that you'll be working on. But I mean, one thing that comes to mind when you mentioned that is how much kind of contact or how much, association did you have with the people that you were actually raising these funds for?
Yeah, well, I mean, I had contacts with the teams in the field, so with the doctors and nurses, like daily, because I would call them up to see if everything was fine, if they were needing any type of, you know, material or help from us, because we were in the capital in Niamey, so it was a bit far from our actual projects. And I would visit our projects approximately every 2 months. So it would be a 13-hour drive across the country. Yeah, it was pretty intense and pretty long and tiring. So and every time I would go, I would spend like 10 days to visit all of our hospitals. And there was parts of the country where I couldn't go as a, I guess, a white humanitarian worker. I was not allowed to go. So only the Africans, the Nigerian and also African expatriates could go.
Okay.
And when I would visit hospitals, I would see the kids, right? The sick kids, but also the kids that got better because of, you know, the services and the doctors. So that was, I guess, I mean, I should say it was very hard. The first time I got there, I was like, whew, that was intense. And I really, you know, I really understood why, you know, NGOs were there, especially in Niger, which is one of the poorest country in the world, right? So, and where malnutrition is really a huge plague in the country. And so that was the contact I was getting with the beneficiaries and the people. It was a bit hard to talk to them, right? Because even though French is the main language in Niger, most people were, you know, speaking their dialect, and so they were not all understanding French. So I was mainly, I had the doctors as intermediate between me and the beneficiaries. Okay. Yeah, and I would make sure that they were happy with the services, and if they had any complaints, I would report them. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And, you know, another thing that comes to mind, just hearing that story, you know, in you actually being able to meet the beneficiaries and having it, you know, impact you so much emotionally, I can imagine that was quite draining.
Yeah.
Did that, would you say that had an impact on how you then went back to write other grant applications? I mean, did it fuel you positively, or did you have to learn to maybe, you know, separate emotion from the facts and able to make a good case to get the best grants?
Oh yeah, definitely. It had a tremendous impact. And when I would go back to donors and explain the situation, I mean, of course, donors in the field that were actually in Niger knew, you know, they know what's going on. And they're also, it's a struggle for them as well, because they have to decide in funding different crises across the world. And you have to make, you know, the best case you can do. For some donors, it's not their priority, right? Because especially malnutrition is kind of a chronic crisis. So it's basically, it's always there, right? And the only thing you can do is trying to prevent it as much as possible. But unfortunately, it's always going to be a problem. And so it's getting harder and harder to make a case for this chronic crisis. It's different, let's say, the malnutrition in Yemen, for instance, which is a man-made crisis, right? And which is a bit more, it's easier also given that it's a more recent crisis to kind of, have the attention and having, you know, having the donors interested. But, you know, donors know that Niger needs money, especially for health issues, and so they listen to you, and then you also offer them to visit your hospitals to see that you're doing you know, a great job, and then usually they follow you.
Wow, pretty inspiring stuff, Marion. Guys, I do tell you, I promise you, the best only. And you know Marion isn't even 30 yet. I hope you're happy with me saying that. It's kind of out already, so sorry.
I just turned 26, but so it's okay. I'm not too old yet.
You know, she's at the beginning of her career, arguably, and she's already changing the lives of many people out there. What made you get into this line of work?
I guess even since high school, I had not started my actual secondary studies, but I always knew I wanted to do something of general interest. I knew I wouldn't join the private sector. I don't know, I had, you know, it's not that I blame the private sector. I mean, it's so broad, it doesn't even make any sense like that. But I knew I wanted to either work for a charity or an NGO, or I guess diplomacy as well, because I had many interests, like from working for an NGO to working for, I guess, my government and the French Ministry of Foreign Affairs. But then going into my bachelor and then my master's, I really understood and I really tried to focus on humanitarian work, because I felt like, you know, deep inside that I wanted to be, you know, in touch with actually this humanitarian crisis that we hear about every day. And to get there, because it was a bit of a struggle, I should say. And I went through different internships and traineeships, and all of these experiences really helped me kind of tailor my goal and then understand how I should go about it, right? Because it's not a smooth like, okay, to get there, I'll just do this.
Nope, lost you. I'll wait patiently.
Yeah, I'm here.
Great. So the last thing you can say to get there, I'll just do this.
Okay. Where do you want me to go?
It's okay. You can say to get there, I'll just do this.
But before that, because I lost it.
You were saying it's not a smooth journey.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's not you just saying, oh, you know, okay. Like maybe being a lawyer. Yeah,
because to get there, it was not a smooth road. Like it was more of a journey, which I probably will get into in your future question.
Okay. Wow. So basically, if I've understood you correctly, it's you saw a need out there, in the charity sector.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've always been passionate about international issues what's going on in the world, and I was thought, how can I actually try and do my role as, I don't know, you know, as a global citizen and help where I could, and I knew there was these jobs out there, but I also knew how competitive they were, but you know, you have to try and you have to you know, take every steps you need to take. So I decided to give it a try.
Yeah, and I can vouch for you in terms of your passion about international relations and, you know, diplomacy, because I remember some of our heated conversations that would go on well into the night, just discussing world issues. And it's good to see that the things we spoke about many years ago, because it is many now, but, you know, you're actually, you know, actioning them in your life. And I guess for me, that's obviously that's one thing I admire about you. You know, you've taken action, and really that's the purpose of these podcasts. So people may say, you know, what is she doing here? Well, that's what you're doing here. You've taken action. We spoke about stuff. You didn't just sit on it and scream at the TV and say, no, you know, this should change, I hate it. What are you going to do about it? You know, and this is what you're doing about it. And I love that.
Oh, thank you so much.
You are welcome. So you spoke about the journey not being so smooth, and I'm sure there are other people out there who want to get involved in the humanitarian sector because it is so vast, like you said. Like, I mean, through the journey, I know you've even managed to work with the United Nations, which is awesome. But can you tell us a bit about the different steps that you've gone through, and how someone who might be interested, you know, how you would advise them and different routes that they could take to get into the same industry.
Sure. So, you know, so I did my bachelor, which I spent the last year with you abroad in the US. And after this, I started my master's program, which was a, 2 years program. And my last year was actually a master's in peace studies. And at the end of this year, I did my my end of year internship at UNESCO in Paris, actually at the French delegation. So it was diplomacy, but I was doing basically international diplomacy at UNESCO. And for all those who might not know, it's the UN Agency for Cultural cultural and scientific
education
matters. So it was kind of my first step, I guess, into the UN system, and it was a very interesting experience because not only I learned a lot about how, you know, multilateral diplomacy works and how the UN system works, but also got to kind of see the good, the bad, and the ugly, right?
Okay.
At the end of my internship, I realized that, I guess that, you know, as an international relations student, you kind of see the United Nations as a goal, as an end, and you want to achieve this, right? You want to say that you're going to work for the UN one day, and
yeah,
it's kind of everyone's goal, I guess almost everyone's. And so I was so happy, you know, but I realized how, you know, political it can be in there, and that it's not, you know, it's huge, and you have people that come from different walks of life, and you have, I guess, like everywhere.
Nope, lost you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. So you have people come from different walks of life.
Yeah, and you have people that are there for the good reasons and some for the less good reasons because, you know, you can, I guess, you know, for money or for reputation, stuff like that. But for me, I realized that, I guess, working for the UN in capitals like, I guess, Paris or I don't know, I can say for New York City but, you know, it's not where, I guess, the most interesting job is, you know. And with talking with different colleagues that were actually in the field, I was really, you know, it really gave me the motivation to go further and try and get there. So that was a good boost for me. But it also gave me the confirmation that I was not going to want to spend my career like in a headquarters in Paris, And so after this, I graduated from my master's, and you know, you would think, like, people would think, you know, graduating top of your class, oh, it's fingers in the nose to find a job, right? But
and from probably one of the best universities in Paris as well.
Yeah, exactly. But so what people who are not familiar with, you know, the field of international relations, United Nations and so on, is that it's a super competitive field, right? Mm. I can't say for all, you know, the private sector, but I know that usually when you send a resume, you know, to a consulting firm, you can be, if you have like a pretty good resume and relevant experience, you can say, okay, I might get a call back. But when you when you start sending your resumes to NGOs in the field and international organizations, first of all, you struggle to find entry level positions, right? So you're like, well, how can I have 3 years of experience when I only started my career?
And, 3 years ago.
Exactly. And so, well, so that's the first struggle, but also you realize that you have people with 10 years of experience who sometimes apply for the same position, for the same entry level position as you. And so that's when it starts to get tricky, and you're like, oh my God. And sometimes these are paid traineeships. They're not even proper entry level jobs. So you get stipends, but it's not going to make you, it's not going to pay both your rent and your living expenses, right? So, you know, I had to recollect my thoughts at one point and be like, okay, how do I go about it? Because, you know, I knew that I wanted to give it a try and not, you know, give up, like, you know, instantly. So, you know, I spent days and days and days, like, really, you know, perfecting my resume and my cover letter. And I tried to, you know, be a bit strategic about it and really, you know, as any job hunting goes, you know, kind of say, okay, I'll only apply to NGOs in the field. I won't apply to, you know, NGOs in, you know, in European countries.
Yeah.
And, And I told myself, you know, I won't apply to consulting firms, because another thing is that all of my friends who were in my class and who graduated at the same time as I did, you know, were starting to get jobs. And, and that was a bit, not a bit stressful. I was so happy for them. Most of them, I would say, honestly, like 90% of my class got jobs that were not related to our master's. And, you know, and it's hard. I mean, I think it's maybe it's something that's very common. But to me, I was like, no, I didn't study for, you know, 5 years learning, like, you know, interesting knowledge that I'm passionate about to end up, like, I don't know, doing consulting jobs that I don't even know what that means in real life, you know? And so I continued my hunting, and I ended up first working for UNICEF, but that was a paid traineeship, and that's so it's basically an internship but for young graduates. And so for this I was in Paris, and I told myself, well, it's something I can do and still continue looking for something more, you know, not permanent but at least a proper job and in the field. So yeah, so I continued my job hunting, and after that I got, you know, I got to do internships in different organizations such as UNICEF and then another NGO in Brussels, which is called Christ Action, and where I was doing advocacy for civilians in armed conflicts. And all these experiences were very interesting. However, I really felt out of touch with basically what we were advocating for. And, you know, I was learning and researching a lot about Yemen and Myanmar, Central African Republic, and everything that was going on there. And I felt like, well, it's, you know, you do research and you try to advocate to the European Union and such, but you've never been there, right? You can't really grasp the situation that's going on and how the actors that are there struggle to make these voices heard. And so that's when I told myself, okay, you really need to continue, you know, job hunting and really try to get your foot out there. And that's what I did. And one day I got, you know, an email back from this medical NGO that I was talking about earlier. That's for Niger. So, you know, with hindsight, I really think, and I'm really kind of happy and happy about my decision to really pursue this objective. And I could have given up, you know, multiple times, but with hindsight, I kind of realized that I never told myself, okay, I'm giving up. I've always, you know, I've always thought, okay, it has to work. Cause I mean, you know, it's just a bit difficult. And when I speak about friends now who are in the field, of them are older than me, right? And got their first experience like 2 to 3 years after me, which tells that how difficult it is and how to really get your first foot in this field, you need to do a little bit, to push a little more. And it's normal if you feel a bit defeated at times and that you think it's not fair. But if you really want it and that you put, you know, your mind to it, it's gonna end up, you know, it's gonna end up where somewhere, and it's gonna end up being worth it.
Wow, that's awesome. I love it. I love it. Thank you for that encouraging piece of just wisdom, really. And you know, this is why I really enjoy doing these interviews as well, because I get inspired. Forget about all you guys listening. Not really. But I do. And, you know, I love what you were saying. Like, it has to work.
Exactly.
I love it. That, because for me, it all goes back to mindset, right?
Exactly.
If that's your mindset, then no matter how many mountains come your way, no matter how many times you trip and fall, in your mind, it's like, well, it has to. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get over this mountain.
Exactly.
You know? It has to work by all means. And I love it. And that's, you know, where your mind was. And I'm so excited that you've got, you know, another mission coming up. I know in terms of confidentiality, I'm not too sure how much details you can divulge, but, you know, that's even more exciting.
Yeah,
what you're about to go on to next.
Yeah, well, I can say, I guess, that I will still be working on humanitarian issues, but I'll be going to Sudan actually and working for an embassy there. So that's, I guess, I'll say that. And I'm excited about it. I'm currently waiting for papers and stuff. But as probably many viewers right now know, that you know this country is undergoing like a crisis. I was a bit I don't want to say that.
That's fine. It's scratched.
Can you repeat the question?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Where can I go from?
Well, you were saying basically that that's exciting, and that you're going to do something else, right?
Yeah. So I don't know how much detail that you can divulge about that.
Yeah, so I'm currently waiting for papers right now, but I'll be going to Sudan soon, still working on humanitarian issues, but for a different kind of organization. So I'm really excited for kind of diving into a different type of work and getting to know a different culture and different setting, and also even learning a new language, because in Sudan you speak Arabic and English as well. So I will have to go back to my Arabic books, because I did 2 years of Arabic, but if you don't practice Arabic, I mean, well, you won't be fluent. But so yeah, it's a super exciting. I'm really excited, even though you know it's a country that's going through a very difficult time. I hope I can be of help to the people there, and we shall see.
Wow, inspiring. Look, you've been so honest with us, and I love that, and that's what I try and get people on here to do, not to paint this picture of perfect people who've never been through anything and you know just click their fingers and get to where they want to be, but really it's normal people, right, who go through challenges, get frustrated trying to get to their goals, right, go through different things, like you go to the UN, you realize actually I always wanted to be here and actually I don't anymore. You know, it's okay to go through that. Are you there? Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, so Marion, like we've been speaking about personal struggles and you know imperfections and the fact that you're a human being and you have all of these. So can you just enlighten us, just as we wrap up within the last 5 minutes, could you just tell us a bit about how you dealt with those and how you overcame them and dealt with them in a positive way to get to where you are, and perhaps just bring a bit of encouragement as well to wrap us up for people who are listening who might be in a similar situation to you.
Yeah, sure, I'll try. Well, it's, for me, I've always been kind of an anxious person and a bit, you know, a stressed person. And when it came to, you know, job hunting and finding a job in the field, like we were talking about, I really struggled, because I would tend to downplay my achievements and my experiences, and I would underestimate myself a lot, and that was not doing any good towards finding a job, right? So what I tried and do was, you know, talking to my family and my close friends, especially in the same field as me, and they would motivate me and boost me, you know, reminding me that, you know, I've done everything that I could to reach my goal. And really, sometimes you tend to kind of isolate yourself and, you know, doing your own thing and not sharing with everyone, like your basically your anxiety and maybe your doubts. And really that helped me tremendously, you know, kind of you know, basically think that I was on the right way and that I was doing everything that I could. So that was really reassuring. And once I was in the field, I encountered some other, like, different basically anxious situations. Like, while I was in Niger, I had very strict security rules. That was basically a bit hard. I had a curfew, you know, I had to, everywhere that I would go from a point A to B, I had to drive, and I had to have a driver, basically. I couldn't walk in the streets, and, you know, after, like, a while, it gets very stressful, and, you know, you feel a bit trapped, I'd say. And I had to also, you know, so I was struggling really to find kind of a balance between my professional life and my personal life. And it's really important to try and find it, because otherwise you don't really, you're not gonna be able to stay on the long run. And so I really had to tell myself, you know, you've come to this point and you found your kind of perfect job, if I can say, at least to start with. And so I would put everything into perspective and tell myself, yeah, well, I guess it's a struggle at that point in time, but I know it will be worth it in the end. And now, looking back at it, I'm really grateful for this experience and everything that I've learned. And
that's great. That's great. Wow. Thanks for sharing. Those are some gold nuggets there, you know, two key points really. First thing is, don't isolate yourself, right? Get around the right people, you know, community is everything. We weren't made to be alone. So thanks for highlighting that, because it's so easy once you get into a place of self-pity and anxiety and just stress, it's easy to want to be alone, but really that's the worst place to be, isn't it? Yeah. And yeah, I just love also your very last point on perspective, you know, because things might be a bit difficult now, don't forget the whole spectrum, don't forget everywhere where you've been, and it's just a kind of a dot in the journey, isn't it? Awesome. Exactly. Awesome. Look, I am so grateful that you joined me today. You have no idea. I value so much.
Thank you.
And that you've made time to share with even my wider community to how amazing you are. You know, didn't want to keep you all to myself, and I'm proud of what you're doing. I know you've got some amazing things coming up next week. So,
really,
so look, Marion, I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. And I'm really proud of your project and so excited to hear all of these amazing episodes that you have planned for us.
Thanks, my love. Right, guys, you've heard it first from here. Nathi Okuska, the wonderful humanitarian aid worker who is changing the world one person, one place, one city at a time. Look, if you guys were to take anything from this, it's don't isolate yourself. Don't isolate yourself. Get around the right people. Be encouraged. And remember, you have greatness within you. Thank you for watching. I am peacing out. Take care.
Bye.
So there you are. I promised you that my friend is an absolute treat, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Now let me know what you think on Instagram. Give us a follow. Join the community. What are you guys doing, right? Comment. You guys are listening. Let me know. What do you think? What are your thoughts? Remember, we don't have to agree, but I'd love to hear how you guys are navigating this season. So Today Uncovered, Instagram, Today Uncovered, Facebook, get talking, let's get discussing. I love to chat with you guys. Have a beautiful day, and remember, you are absolutely awesome.